Well, then, in the very beginning of your outline, you see that we all want friends. We all need friends. And one of the reasons why we all want and need friends is because God's created us as relational beings. Now, some people have a lot of friends, and some people only have a few friends. And that doesn't diminish in any way the fact, the truth is that God has created us to have relationships. And friendship is certainly one of those deep relationships and caring relationships. And one of the reasons God has created you and I to have relationship is that God wants us to have a relationship with Him. Not just as our Creator, but as our Heavenly Father, and through His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Savior and Lord. And so friendship is very important, and that's why we're celebrating Friendship Sunday this morning. We saw just a glimpse of it, didn't we, in Mark chapter 2, where those four friends took a friend that was paralyzed, and they took their friend to Jesus. They knew that Jesus could help him. And Jesus, it said in that passage there, he saw their faith, their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. That's what a good friend does. It helps another friend in need. A friend, as we have here, a friend in need is a friend indeed. But God wants you to have that relationship with Him. He knows everything about us. Sometimes that can be unsettling for any one of us. He knows the good, bad, and the ugly parts of our lives. But He still loves you. He still loves me. He knows the good, bad, and ugly parts of our relationships too. But He still wants to work lovingly, graciously in those relationships, and especially in our relationship with Him. So I want to take a look at various things that the Bible says about friends and friendships, because those are so important. Take a look on your outline before you. The writer of Proverbs has a lot to say about friends and friendships. A friend loves at all times. A very familiar passage in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. When I first heard that when I was younger, what are you saying here? A friend loves at all times, and now a brother. I have a brother, and I've gone through adversity times and adverse times, and my brother was there for me. And I thank the Lord that there were times too when some good friends were there for Diane and I as well. I think what Solomon is saying is that if you have a good friend, it's like having a good brother. If you have a good friend, it's like having a good sister. It's that close, a bond. But let's see some other things that he says here. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Again, that bond, if you will, that closeness, that dependability, that trustworthiness is expressed there. Take a look at Proverbs 27:6. This is something that I'm sure if you have a good friend, this has already happened. It's happened with me and some of my good friends. Take a look at what it says. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Sometimes I've been wounded by a dear friend. One dear friend says, Bill, you should be doing that. Bill, you're out of line on this. My first prideful response, you know what that is? Oh, you're talking to me? Yeah. And that's what is being implied here. A good friend will tell you the truth about what's happening in your life. But an enemy multiplies kisses. If I'm going in the wrong way, I don't want people to say, attaboy, you're going great, going great, going great. And there I am, I'm on my way to hell. Damnation. I don't think you'd want somebody to applaud that journey either in your life. And that's what is conveyed here, if you will. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. That happens. Happened in my life. I was on the other side, too. It's not only that it affected my character, my development and maturity, but I affected adversely other people's lives. So I see myself on both sides of that. Maybe you do too. Well, I've got great news for you. I've got good news for you that God wants you to hear from His Word. But let's look, as we look into God's Word, let's look at a few friendships. They're the first one, as you see in your outline, is David and Jonathan. Now, David, of course, we're talking about the David of Psalm 23, the shepherd boy David, the one who slew Goliath, the one who became king in Israel as anointed by God to be king. But there was a king before him, wasn't there? And the name of that king was King Saul. And he was also anointed, but his heart was not right before God. And therefore, he was not a good and just king. He had a son, Jonathan, his oldest son. Saul had had high hopes that Jonathan would follow him in the reign on the throne. That King Saul, that he would have King Jonathan. But here comes David. And Saul had heard that David was anointed as king. And Saul, he saw David as a rival to himself. And out of his own pride, he hated David. He was jealous of David. And he expected Jonathan, his son, because David was then a rival for Jonathan's throne. And Saul expected his son Jonathan to also be jealous and hate David with a passion. But that never happened. David and Jonathan bonded together like brothers. They're extremely close in a friendship that protected one another. Take a look, if you will, on your outline before you. You have Jonathan warned David of danger. Saul was going to kill David, and Jonathan, Saul's son, warned David, "My dad's going to kill you. He's out to kill you." Jonathan spoke well of David. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 19, when Saul was really putting David down, Jonathan was lifting David up. You know, that's what a good friend does. And Jonathan was that good friend with David. He was building him up. He was defending him. Jonathan sought David's well-being. He wanted to protect him. And that's what a good friend does. Do you have a good friend like that? I pray you do. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have friends that aren't so good. But let's take a look at some other points in Jonathan and David's relationship as good friends. Jonathan and David made a covenant of grace. And we say it's a covenant of grace because that's the word that is used there in that covenant they made with each other. They were depending upon the grace of God to work in that relationship. Not only in their relationship as friends, but there's something else too. You know, good friends in a relationship of grace are a blessing to others. Have you ever seen that? Have you seen that? Good friends in the bond of grace. Take a look, if you will, what we have a quote down there. Jonathan said, "Go in peace. The two of us have vowed friendship in God's name, saying, God will be the bond between me and you, and between my children and your children forever." You see, that's what friendship does. It's not just those two friends, or those three friends, or that group of friends, but it also becomes a blessing to others. Their children and their children's children. How do I know this is so? Because there was a fella in Saul's line who was crippled. Nobody wanted him because he was crippled. In that culture, in that time, well, something was wrong with his character. We don't want him. He may bring a curse upon me. But David honored that covenant of grace that he had with Jonathan, his dear friend. And David blessed Mephibosheth. That was Jonathan's son. You see, David and Jonathan really took their friendship serious. That's why we see this as an illustration for us and for our families. Because the same dynamic works in our marriages and our extended families with our in-laws and our outlaws. Well, hold on. That was a joke. All right. Jonathan risked his life for David, and David honored his covenant. You see, when God's in the midst of your friendship, that's a friendship that is strong and is strengthened by the grace of God. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about a three-cord rope is not easily broken. And what the writer of Ecclesiastes is talking about is a relationship of two people with that third cord being God. We often apply that to marriage, and rightly so, because a husband and wife with God in the center of that marriage covenant will bless, will strengthen. Not to say that that marriage won't go through difficulties, but they learn and they are strengthened through the difficulty by the grace of God. And that husband and wife just don't become a husband and wife as one, but they become good friends. Are you a good friend with your spouse? Are you? I pray you are. Let's go on though. Good friends are loyal, even at personal risk, and are a blessing to others. That's what we can draw out of the relationship of friendship that David had with Jonathan. But there's another relationship too that David had with another friend. Now I know he was a prophet, but he was a friend of David. You see, sometimes when you see a friend going wrong, you want to step in and help. Someone once said, a friend is one who never gets in the way except when you are on the way down. David was a man after God's own heart, but there were times when he was on the way down. And one of those times was when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he compounded that by killing Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. And enters his friend, Nathan. Now, he knew Nathan before. Nathan gave him counsel and advice. But here's David. Think of how the story unfolds. David should have been out with his men in a battle. It's very clear in that passage. But he was in the wrong place. And sometimes when you and I are in the wrong place, where we shouldn't be, sometimes where we shouldn't be, we begin to do things we shouldn't do. You know what I mean? And David was where he shouldn't be. He was there in the palace when he should have been out with his men in battle. And lo and behold, one night he sees a woman taking a bath. He saw her from the palace, probably from the porch area. One look wasn't sufficient for David. He looked and looked and lusted for her. And he spoke to one of his servants there in the palace. Who is that woman over there bathing? Why, and he should have listened to the servant clearly, but he didn't. The servant said, why, that's Uriah's wife. Seemingly, no matter at all, David says, well, bring her here. They committed adultery. David, in order to cover that up, because Bathsheba became pregnant from that adulterous relationship, David tried to cover it up by murdering Uriah. And in the course of possibly almost 9 months, David said nothing. Nothing to God, and nothing in the way of a confession to anybody else. And in steps Nathan, a friend of David. You see, a good friend will tell you the truth about yourself. Out of love, not out of judgment, not out of criticism. Nathan said, King David, I want to tell you about a poor man and his family. They have one little lamb. Oh, and they love that lamb. They even keep it in the house with them. It's more than a pet, it's a family member. But King David, I want to tell you about another person in the same town. It's a rich man. And the rich man has a whole herd of sheep. And he's very, very rich. And he has a friend that came one night and he wanted to give hospitality to his friend. And so what this rich man did, instead of taking from his own flock, he went to that poor man's house and took that lamb and slaughtered it and gave hospitality to his visiting friend. Oh, David was so self-righteous, so enraged. Why, that man I will judge. He needs to be killed. He needs to be done away with. Nathan, David's good friend, said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. You see, not only do we need good friends like Jonathan who will encourage us, who will defend us, but we also need good friends that will tell us the truth about ourselves out of love and out of righteousness. David repented, and God forgave David his sin. But think, what would have happened if Nathan didn't say a word? Something else as we go on. Paul and Barnabas, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Barnabas. Okay, they work together. But you know, a good friend that we draw out of this relationship, a good friend will defend you before others and encourage you. When Paul, actually he was Saul, remember his name was first Saul? Saul of Tarsus? And Saul came to know Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus because he was out to take all the heads of the Christians in Damascus and bring them back, if you will. And he met Jesus Christ and he was converted that day, that spot, when he put faith and trust in Christ as Savior. His life was changed. But there are a lot of people that remembered what Paul was and what he did. But Barnabas came alongside Paul and encouraged him and defended him before others. When Paul went down to Jerusalem, nobody wanted to see Paul. Well, we know what Paul is. He's a Pharisee. He hates Christians. He does this to Christians. He does that to Christians. He divides their families and everything else. Barnabas said, wait a second. Wait a second. I heard he came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I heard from others that his life has changed. Let's have Paul come. Barnabas was a good friend. A very good friend. Do you have a good friend like that? Are you a good friend like that? Because, you know, sometimes people remember what we were and what we did. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever experienced that? Yeah, I have too. But we all need a Barnabas in our life to say, you know, they're changed. They are really changed. They're a new person because of Christ. Well, that's what also friendship should do and must do. Good friends strengthen and encourage one another in serving others. Johnny Cash. They're very popular in the mid-50s and right on through the 60s. In the mid-50s, he was one of the lead performers there in the Grand Ole Opry there in Nashville, Tennessee. In fact, they had him so frequently, more than the other performers. But Johnny Cash was involved with drugs and alcohol and just got so addicted to that lifestyle and those things that one night, after he finished the performance, they said he literally went berserk. He was under the influence of drugs, to be sure. But Johnny Cash went berserk that night, and he crashed the stage. He ruined the stage lights and everything else. And so the managers of the Grand Ole Opry had him arrested. And they told him, Johnny Cash, you'll never perform here again. Just because of what you did tonight. Johnny Cash was thrown into jail there in Tennessee, in Nashville. There was a sheriff, though, who was about to let him out the next day because the bail was posted. And the sheriff said, Johnny Cash, you don't know me, but I know something about you. And I need to tell you that you have a choice. You can kill yourself or you can save your life. Simple. Johnny Cash in his biography says those words really stuck in his heart. He contacted his wife, his friends, and he asked his friends if they would go with him to a cabin in the country that his family had, and if they would go and help him ask his friends to dry out from the drugs and the alcohol. You read his biography, he says, you know, he said, that whole thing humbled me like a child. And I thank God that I couldn't do it on my own, but it took my friends and my family and God to straighten my life out. You see, we all need friends, don't we? Do you have a good friend or friends? Like a Jonathan, who will defend you? Do you have a good friend like a Nathan who will tell you the truth about what you're doing or what you're saying or where you're going? Do you have a good friend like Barnabas who doesn't care what your past was but loves you today and will encourage you? Do you have a good friend like that? I pray you do. Friendship Sunday is all about friends. The Bible is full of friendships. Paul and John Mark. Number 4, good friends will reconcile with one another. But what I mean, and I think this is why this is in the Bible, because of all the different friendships and things that happen in friendships. Paul and Barnabas were on a missionary journey, and John Mark was with them. He was a young lad, and he was rather afraid where they were going. And so he got so afraid that he didn't know what was up. And so he left them in the lurch. He quit. And Paul said to Barnabas later on, when Barnabas said, let's take John Mark on another mission trip. No way, Jose. Now, Paul was wrong in that because Barnabas helped him and the two of them could have helped John Mark. You know, sometimes friendships break down. Have you ever had a friendship that broke? Have you? I've had. I'm sure you have. Paul, I'm sure, was troubled in his heart about John Mark. I know that later on, the Bible records that John Mark visited Paul when he was in prison, no longer afraid. He knew that anybody who would associate with Paul, they would be also marked by Rome and by those who hated Paul. They said, well, see, look, John Mark, he's one of them for sure. But in courage, a newfound courage in Christ, and they reconciled. Later on, we're also told that when Paul wrote another letter, he said, John Mark is coming along with this letter. Help him on the way. He's a valuable servant. I value him. I esteem him. You see, in that relationship that God gives us, a little bit of a picture between Paul and John Mark, good friends will reconcile. They really will. And they'll rebuild that relationship. Now, maybe you have a broken down relationship, a friendship. Maybe you're here today and you're hearing these words and you're thinking about a particular person in your life that used to be a good friend. And you know you need to be reconciled. Would you be that good friend and take that first step and make that reconciliation? You see, that's what friendship does. Good friends, they defend one another. Good friends, they encourage each other. Good friends, when they see a friend going off the path, they speak to them and they speak truth and love, don't they? A good friend like Barnabas, they see a changed life. They don't remember the past. They only know the present and that life in Christ now. Isn't that great? Sure is. Well, all of these attributes of friendship are clear, and there are many other friendship relationships in the Word of God. But you know, above all those friendships, the greatest friend that you and I can have is Jesus Christ. And if you have him as your Savior, your Lord, your friend, you'll know that indeed he does defend you before others. He does tell you the truth about yourself. He doesn't remember what you did in the past, but he knows who you are right now. Aren't you glad? I sure am. You see, that's what friendship in Christ is all about. He builds us up. He trusts us. And he wants us to trust in him. One of the important building blocks in a good friendship is trust. Take a look in your outline before you. Jesus Christ and you. All above and much more of the other attributes that we looked at, Jesus Christ is a friend above all. I say that because I know that's true in my own life. I have a number of good friends. I have many friends, you can but imagine, being in ministry almost 42 years. I pray for them, the Spirit of God reminds me of them. But I have some real good friends too that do all of that, but I have one great friend. One great friend, and that's Jesus Christ in my life. My wife is my good friend too. She comes after Jesus Christ and she knows that. And I come after Jesus Christ in her life as well. And we're good friends. But Jesus Christ is all of this for you and me. Only Jesus can change eternal enemies into eternal friends. And he does that. It says that when we were enemies, God sent Jesus Christ into the world to bring salvation, forgiveness of sins, that we could be brought into a relationship with him. Jesus will always be a loyal friend. Yes, like a Jonathan with David and David with Jonathan. He will always tell you the truth about and lift you up from sin. He will always defend you and encourage you. He will always seek to repair your relationship with him. I find it interesting, when my friendship with Jesus is stretched, I've come to realize When my friendship with Jesus is stretched, I'm the one that pulled away. Never Jesus. But he's the one who draws back. Have you noticed that? Have you? I hope and pray you have. I have pulled away. He draws me back. Are you here this morning? You're an invited friend, and I thank the Lord that you have a good friend who will invite you and bring you here. We want to be your good friends too. I mean that with all my heart. But we also want to make sure that you know you can have the greatest friend of all. That friend is Jesus Christ. Jesus said of his disciples, and they were his servants, he is their master. But he says, I no longer call you servants, but now I call you friends. No greater love has a man than this, that he gives his life for his friends. He's given his life for you and I. And all that we see in the friendships in the Word of God, all those attributes and all those virtues find their fulfillment in the person and our relationship with that person, Jesus Christ. Now I realize that some of us are more extroverted than others. Some are more introverted than others. Some of you have only one friend. Well, praise the Lord, you have one friend, right? You can have another one too. If Jesus isn't your friend, I pray that you will come to know him as your friend today. In the back of your outline, how does this amazing friendship get started? Simple as ABC. Right before you have A, admit that you are a sinner and turn from your sins. I had to do that. I still have to admit that I'm a sinner. My relationship now with Christ, my friend, my Savior, my Lord, and he's willing to forgive. A, admit that you are a sinner and turn from your sins and ask for forgiveness. B, believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead. God tells us in his word, and this is a promise. God is a promise giver. If we confess that Jesus is Lord with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Isn't that a great promise? That's a wonderful promise that God has given. And God, who is the promise giver, is the promise keeper. So that we have that opportunity, have that blessing, have that amazing relationship with Christ as our friend, our greatest friend forever and ever. C, commit your new life to follow Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, and your friend. Simple as ABC. I thank the Lord. I'm a simple kind of God. You all know that. Not only do I have a good forgetter, and it's getting better all the time, but I'm so thankful that God has made the gospel so simple for Bill Gray. I really am. He's made it simple for all of us. Simple as A, B, C. Have you accepted Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your friend? Something happens when that happens. Your life has changed. Pray with me. You're here this morning, and you're looking for that friendship that's eternal, that friendship that is always going to be there, because Jesus will never leave you in the lurch. He'll never quit on you. Some friends have in my life too, but Jesus has never and will never. He has promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you would this morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord, your Savior, your friend, if you would just simply pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for wanting to be my best friend forever. Thank you that long before I ever knew your name, you came to earth and lived. You died for my sins, and you rose again to make it possible for all of my sins to be forgiven and my life to be changed through your life. I confess that I am a sinner and ask you for forgiveness. I turn from my sins